Masechet Baba Mesi'ah Daf Yod Chet. The first topic today is whether a woman can collect her ketubah payment without having a ketubah document. At the end of the previous daf, we saw a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that a ma'aseh betin, which here we understand to mean an enactment of the sages, like a ketubah, that every woman deserves a ketubah payment at the end of her marriage. Even if someone does not have a document, nevertheless, because the betin says a woman deserves to get a ketubah payment, it's as if she has a document and she can collect it even without a document. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Chiya said, I have a proof for you, Rabbi Yochanan, from a Mishnah Masechet Ketubot that says, if a woman produces a get and she does not have a ketubah, she can still collect it. She needs a get just to show that she is in fact divorced. Otherwise, the husband might claim, oh no, we're still married. I don't have to pay out the ketubah. But by having a get, she shows, look, I'm divorced, so you need to pay me a ketubah. So even though she doesn't have a ketubah, she can get that payment. That's a support for Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Abaye, on the previous daf, said, oh, wait, this is not a good proof. Maybe that Mishnah in Masechet Ketubot is talking about a place where their practice is not to write Ketubot. Nobody writes a Ketubah. They just assume it, and therefore it makes sense that she doesn't have a Ketubah and needs to pay it. But perhaps in a place where they write Ketubot, then, by her not having a ketubah, that's suspicious. Why don't you have a ketubah? Must be because it was paid already. See, when a husband pays a ketubah amount, then she gives the physical ketubah back to the husband, and he should tear it up. And so the fact that there's no ketubah, that seems like he already paid it. And so maybe we only collect payment without the physical ketubah in such a place. But otherwise, we wouldn't, and that would be against Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Abaye on the previous daf actually reversed himself already and said, you know what? This actually is a good proof. Because if you say that a woman can never collect a ketubah payment without having a ketubah document, well then, an almana, who from Erusin, a woman was mikudeshet, and then her fiancé dies. She does deserve to get a ketubah payment, but she's not likely to have a ketubah document because the ketubah document is written near the time of Nisuin, not at the time of Kiddushin only. And so how would she ever collect? Obviously, it must be Rabbi Yochanan is correct that a woman can receive ketubah payment even without a ketubah document, and that explains the case of an almana. Okay, that's where we left it. And now we're going to continue on that point. Amar le mar kashisha bere de Rav Chisda de Rav Asher. Ve'amana min arusin de it la ketubah min alan. So mar kashisha, the son of Rav Chisda, asked Rav Asher, what's your source? How do you know that an almana from Kiddushin has a right to receive a ketubah? Ilema mehaditnan nitarmela o nitgarisha ben mina erusin ben mina nisuin goba etakol. Maybe you'll say it's from the following mishnah in Masechet Ketubot that says if a woman was widowed or divorced, and it doesn't matter whether she was widowed or divorced from kiddushin or from nisuin, she can collect everything. Everything means the entire ketubah payment. That's going to include the baseline of 100 or 200 plus any extra that the husband put in. So he can include everything. So this includes a widow and erusin. But that's not a good proof. Dilma hecha dechatavla. Maybe this Mishnah is talking about a case where he wrote it down. And so maybe she wasn't alman. She was only did kiddushin, but they already wrote it down. They already wrote a ketubah. You can write a ketubah, all right, anytime in between. So it could be they did kiddushin and they wrote the ketubah and then he died. And that's what the payment is talking about. Now, if that's true, they already have a ketubah, then what's the point of this Mishnah? What chidush is it giving? If you have a ketubah, then you can collect the ketubah? Obviously you can. No, the Mishnah has to say this in order to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says that when a woman who did kiddushin, when the husband, fiance writes a ketubah, it's not that it should be paid immediately should he die then, before nisuin, but rather it's on condition. All right, the husband is writing the ketubah now, before Nisuin on condition that they finish and go through with Nisuin, then it will be payable, but not payable beforehand. That is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, in order to make sure that we know that this Tana disagrees with that, as to say, doesn't matter, even if it's from Kiddushin, and the husband dies, still she collects the ketubah. It's not dependent on Nisuin, even for Kiddushin, she deserves it. And so that's why she collects it, but it still could be only when it's written down. And in fact, this reading, it makes the most sense, fits the best with the words, because it says that she can collect everything. Now, if you say it was written down, that makes sense, that she can collect everything. That means the base amount of 100 or 200, plus anything else that he decides to promise, and he writes that down as an additional sum that he promises to pay. But if you say that he didn't write anything at all, they didn't write the ketubah just yet, so what do you mean, collect everything? The only thing that the rabbis said in their enactment is that the husband has to pay the minimum amount, 100 for someone who's married already, 200 for someone who's it's for their first marriage. And so if you don't have anything written, okay, fine, you could collect that much, but not the added amount that the husband would write down and only promise in writing in a ketubah. Without proof from that, without a written document, there's no way it could be hakol. And therefore, this source from Mishnah Ketubot cannot be a source that an almana from Kiddushin without a ketubah can collect anything, because this source is talking about with a ketubah. So let's try another. Here it says, if his wife, a man has a wife who's an arusa, they only did kiddushin, but not yet nisuin. Good, that's our case. And she dies. He does not go into aninut. Aninut is a stage of acute mourning before the burial, in which anyone who's an onen does not do misvot aseh, like doesn't say berachot, doesn't pray, doesn't wear tefillin. So in this case, he's not an onen, because this was not his full wife, she was only mikudeshet. Also, if he's a kohen, while a kohen can become tameh to bury his wife, full wife, but he cannot become tameh to bury his arusa. And the same thing, if she was mikudeshet and the husband dies, she does not enter into oninut, and if she is a bat kohen, she cannot become tameh. This is a curious phrase, because actually a bat kohen can become tameh for anyone. So the commentaries have to explain, no, maybe it's before the holiday when she's going to come and come to the Beit HaMikdash, and she needs to be tahor, and so on. Okay, now if she dies, he does not inherit her. If they're fully married and his wife dies, the husband inherits. But if they only did kiddushin, not. And here's the key line for us. If he dies, she collects the ketubah. So here you have a case of an arusa whose husband dies, and it says that she does collect the ketubah. Now, is that a proof? Dilma dechatavla. Maybe that's a case where they wrote it already, right? We don't know. It could be that people would write a ketubah anytime between the kiddushin and the nisuin. So maybe this is a case where he already wrote it and then died, so she has a ketubah. That's why she gets paid. You can't prove from here that an almana from kiddushin without a ketubah would get paid. And if you say, well, if he wrote it down, then that would be obvious. There would be no chidush in this Mishnah. Of course, if he wrote her a get, then she can collect a get. But we have an answer to that. That's not the chidush. The main chidush is the other one, the other side. And this is only here to fill in the balance, that she dies, he does not get to inherit. So you might have thought that just like he does not inherit her, she should not get a payment from him, that the ketubah is only for the future if they go ahead with nisuin. And so therefore the Mishnah has to actually give us the basis, this it is important chidush that even though he doesn't inherit it, he does not inherit her, she does collect the ketubah. So you know what? There's no proof from here either. Ela Abaye. So now this whole proof that Abaye, the retraction of Abaye earlier, was based on the fact that we already know that an almana can collect her ketubah payment without having a ketubah document. But actually, we don't have a source for that itself. So therefore, Abaye retracts himself based on another point. In other words, Abaye above was saying that this Mishnah in Masechet Ketubot, a different one, was not a proof, right? Abichia said that this is a Mishnah. Let's read it again. Hotzia get ev eni mo ketubah go ba ketubata. You can produce a get, and with that, she can collect a ketubah. So that's a proof of Rabbi Yochanan's rule that a woman can collect ketubah payment without a ketubah document. And that, Abaye said, not necessarily. Maybe that was a place only where they don't tend to write ketubot. But then Abaye reversed himself and says it is a good proof. Now this reversal is based on an assumption that we couldn't prove. So now Abaye is going to say, you know what? I still do reverse my decision. And I think that Mishnah is a good proof for Rabbi Yochanan. But now I'll explain why. Look at that very Mishnah itself. If you think that that Mishnah is only true where they don't write a ketubah, so that's why when she produces the get, and that without a ketubah she can get paid, because nobody has a ketubah, so everybody gets paid without it, but there's no proof that in a place where you write a ketubah that you could also get paid, and that's what Abaye had said. But if so, the get hainu ketubata atu get mane matayim ketibe. And if you say in such a place where they don't write a ketubah, the get serves instead of the ketubah. But really, a get cannot serve instead of a ketubah because does a get say 100 or 200? It doesn't say any. Does not. Does not say anything in the get about how much the husband is going to pay. And therefore, it's impossible to say that the get is instead of the ketubah. Rather, it must be that even without any document, anywhere, even in a place where people do not write a ketubah, even without document, she should be able to get paid. And if you said, no, since the rabbis made a takana that you can collect using a get, so it's as if it's written, right? And so you'll say, okay, even though it doesn't say in the get, 100, 200, but you know what the rabbi said, that you have to pay a ketubah, and she has a get, and that's why she can collect, because it's as if it's written in such a place with a get. But then that still wouldn't work, because he, the husband, can say, I already paid it. And what proof would she have that he didn't pay? See, if you have a ketubah written, then if she has the document, that's proof that it wasn't paid yet. Because otherwise, she gives the document, once it is paid, she gives the ketubah back to the husband who tears it up. And so here, would it make sense to say that the get itself works as if it's a ketubah, because the husband can always say, I paid it already. And if you ask that if in fact the husband paid, then he should have taken the get and torn up the get. Because in other words, if you say that the get is a document that's in place of the ketubah, and it has just the same power, then you should say the same thing. Once he pays the ketubah payment, she should give him the get and he should rip it up so that she doesn't use it again. Amarlan la shebaktan. But then the husband could say, she didn't let me tear it up. Amra ba'ina li insube be. She says, I need it to remarry. I need it as proof that I'm divorced. And she wouldn't let me rip it up. And that would be a valid claim. And then if you say, we should tell the husband, no, you should have taken it, torn it up, and written on the get, you could write the following statement. This get that we tore up, it's not because it's not a valid get. Rather, we tore it up because I already paid the ketubah and I don't want her to collect it again. So if you say, well, he should have done that, and the fact that he didn't tear it up and write this on the back of the get, That means that he didn't pay. Atu called him magbe bebe dinabagbe. We asked, does everybody who collects a payment of a ketubah, do they do so in front of the court? Only the court's going to know this sophistication that you can tear up a get and write on the back of the get that you can use this as proof that you're divorced, but not to collect money again. Not everybody knows this law. And so therefore, the get itself is not what serves as proof that he has to pay the ketubah. It's not so. A get doesn't work as proof because he would always have an excuse and say, I paid it already. Therefore, that Mishnah that Rabbi Chiya quoted to support Rabbi Yochanan is in fact a good proof. And the fact that she has a get, the get just is proof that she got divorced because she just doesn't deserve a ketubah if she didn't get divorced. But the point of that, something we can learn from that Mishnah, is that she can collect even without a ketubah document. That was Rabbi Yochanan's point. And Abaye says, you know what? That I agree. That is, in fact, a good proof that a woman can collect. The get itself is not proof that it wasn't paid. That's just proof that she's divorced. But still, she can collect even without a ketubah document because that is a ma'aseh betin. Next Mishnah. Masagi tenashim v'shichure abadim diatiki matana v'shobarin hareze lo yachzir shani omer ketuvin ayu v'nimlach alehen shelo litenan. If someone finds in the street a get to divorce a woman, or a document to free a slave, or a will, or a gift, a document that shows I'm giving this to you as a gift, or a will. In all these cases, one is not allowed to return this document because we suspect maybe all of these things were written, but it was never actually given. Maybe I wrote a document to give a gift thinking, you know what, I want to give a gift of my car to my friend. I wrote the document, but maybe I never actually gave it. And then if when someone returns it and gives it to my friend, he'll come and say, oh, look, see, I have a document that I own your car, but maybe I never actually gave it to him. Or the same thing with a get. Maybe I wrote a get thinking that thinking of divorcing my wife, but then we reconcile and I never end up giving her the get and I lose it. Someone finds it. If he gives it to my wife, she'll go and say, oh, see, I'm divorced. She'll go and take it to collect a ketubah and even get remarried, which would not be in her interest, but at least she could collect the ketubah. So in all these cases, you cannot return it. That's the Mishnah. Ta'ama dinimlach shelo litenan ha'amar tenu notnin v'afilu zman merubeh. So we analyze the reason that's given in the Mishnah. The only reason that you don't return it to the recipient, the one who, if they held it, they could use it to collect money, is because we suspect maybe the person wrote it, the person that would give this document wrote it and never gave it. Now, but what if he said, give it? In other words, what if the person found it and said, right, came to me and said, I found this document. It says that you gifted something, or it says that you divorced your wife. What should I do with this? And if I say, I want you to give it to that person, I want you to give it to my wife, right, and as a get, or as I want to give it to them as a gift, right? Does that mean that then he can go and give it, right? Because even if I didn't give it before, I'm telling him to give it now. Even after a long time, that would be an implication. The only reason that you wouldn't give it to my wife is because maybe I never gave it, I'm not divorced. But what if I say, you know what, I didn't give it to her yet, but, oh, you found it? Thank you for finding it. Can you give it to her now? Then it would seem that you would be permitted to do so. Here's the problem. It contradicts the Mishnah in Masechet Gittin Urminhu. Hamebi get v'abad hemenu meso le'altar kasher. Im lav pasul. If someone is an agent to bring a get from a husband to a wife and he loses it, if he finds it immediately, that's okay. He can assume that the one that he lost is the same one that he found. You need a chain of custody. You want to make sure that he didn't lose one and find a different one. But if he'd lost it and then didn't find it for a while, he only found it after a long time, and then he picks it up, and it has the same names on it and everything. Obviously, has the same names. He would recognize the sender and he knows who he's going to. So let's say it has the same names, but maybe the original one was lost, and then he happened to find another get with the same names. Maybe it's a common name, Abraham and Sarah, a common name, and then so he finds another one. Well, then maybe it's not the same one, and you can't use a get that's written for one couple cannot be used to divorce another couple. The divorce will be invalid. Okay, that is the Mishnah. And so you see that there's a problem here, because this Mishnah says, the Mishnah in Gittin says, that one cannot give a get after it was lost for a long time. But the implication from our Mishnah here in Baba Masiyah is that if it was lost, and the husband said, lost for a long time, and then the husband says, you know what, give it now, that you're allowed to give it. So this is a contradiction. Amar Abba Lakashya, kan b'makom she'hashayarot misuyot, kan b'makom she'en hashayarot misuyot. Rabba says, no problem. The one in Masechet Gittin says, do not return it if it was lost for a long time. That's if it was lost and found in a place where there are lots of caravans passing by. Caravans are always coming and going. They bring a lot of mail and messengers with them, and they're often dropping things. And so people, if this messenger, he dropped it. Could be a caravan passed by and someone picked it up. Another caravan passed by and somebody with another get with the same names dropped it. Right? This is like in a mail room. There's tons of mail. A lot of it could be similar documents with the same names. That's where you cannot give it anymore. But our Mishnah Baba Masiyah is talking about a rural place. There's not a lot of caravans, and it's found in some place. Oh, look, I found this document, right? Anybody lose? Oh, yeah, I lost that document. So if it's found in a place where there's not a lot of traffic, then you can assume that this is the very same. You lost it here? Yeah, I lost it there. I found it here. So you can assume that that's the same document, that no one else picked that up and then happened to drop there another document with the same names. We now add another clarification of Rabba's opinion. V'afilu b'makom sha'ashayarot misuyot, v'hu shechzeku shenei Yosef ben Shimon b'ayir achat. Even in a place where there's lots of caravans and lots of mail going back and forth, we only worry that there's two documents with the same name if we have established for sure that there are two people named Yosef ben Shimon in that city, the city that says in the get. The get also has a city. If we know, we look up in the phone book, yeah, two Yosef ben Shimons in this city, and it's found in the caravan with lots of people dropping and picking things up, then we worry that this document that you found is not the same one that was lost. It was intended for a different Yosef ben Shimon in the same city. That could very well be likely. We know that for sure there is such a person with a name, and in caravans they're going back and forth and they're dropping and picking up lots of things. That's where you have to worry. However, Rabba is relatively lenient. If either there's a place of no caravans, even if you know this for sure, two people with the same name, it's okay, return it. Or if you're in a place of caravans and you haven't established that there's two people with the same name, then also return it, right? Because otherwise, it's pretty unlikely. Now, we know that this Rabba has to say this, even though he didn't say so explicitly. We can infer it. Because otherwise, we would have a contradiction between two things that Rabba said. The first thing is what he said above, that if there's a caravan, then you don't return it. But look at the following case that's similar to a caravan case, and he said, do return it. There was a get that was found in the betin of Rav Huna. That makes it a ma'aseh betin, and also the place of Rav Huna was a public place, people always coming in and out. And in it, it said that this get was written in a place called Shviri, a city called Shviri that's on the Rachis River. Amaravuna Cheshina Nishne Shviri. So someone found it in the court, and whose is this? Rav Huna said, oh, are you going to return it to the guy whose name is in it, or to the woman whose name is in it that it lives in Shviri? Rav Huna says, well, what if there's two places called Shviri that are both on that river? So you know what? You can't return it. So now Rav Chista, colleague of Rav Huna, told Rabba, Rabba is actually a student, and he said, listen, Rabba, a good idea would be to go and check out this issue. Go see what you can find, any proof, any source for it, because I suspect that in the evening, Rav Huna is going to ask you about it. Sometimes a teacher would ask a student, like a law clerk, right? Go find an argument about this. Should I return it or should we not return it? So Rabba did. Nefak dak v'ashkach ditnan. He went and found the Mishnah. Not that he didn't know the Mishnah. We assume that the Moraim knew the whole Mishnah by heart. But that he thought of the application of this Mishnah for this case. The Mishnah says, Kol ma'aseh betin harei zeh yachzir. Mishnah, we already saw, quoted a couple times before. We're going to see it soon. Just two more dapim. That any document that comes from a betin, one should return it. Now, this document was found literally in the Beit Din of Rav Huna, and therefore you return it, and because you assume that this is an authentic get that was used. So yes, go return it to the woman. Now, the place of Rav Huna, people are always going in and out with documents, dropping documents, finding documents, and so this is a public place. And yet Rabba said that, derived from here, that you should return it. So this seems to contradict what he said before. Rabba above said, if there are caravans, do not return it. And here he says, even though it's a place that's like caravans, you should return it. Alma, rather, there must be a further distinction. Even when there are caravans, it depends. If there are two people, you know for sure that there are two people with the same name, then you have to worry. Don't return it. But if you don't, have not yet established that there are two people with the same name, then you don't have to worry about it, and you can return it. And this case in the court of Rav Huna was where they did not establish that there are two people with the same name. Avad Rabba Obada Behu Gita Dishtakach Pe Kitana Depumpedita Kish Ma'ate. And a further proof that Rabba not only said this, but even followed it in practice. There was a case of a certain get that was found near the flax house in Pupedita, and it was exactly this case, and Rabba said to return it. Now, what do you mean it was exactly this, these circumstances? There's two interpretations. Some say it was a place where they sell flax. A lot of people come and go to sell flax. So this is like a populated place, like where there's caravans. And he said return it because it was not established that there were two people with the same names living in that city that was written in it. And therefore, he said, you return it, even though it's a busy place. Other place people interpret that when it says the flax house, it's not where they sell flax, but rather where they soak flax. It's in the factory. Not a lot of people go there. And even though, in fact, there were two couples established in the city with the same names, and nevertheless, Rabba said return it because it was found in a place where there is not a lot of foot traffic. We just saw how Rabba resolves a contradiction between our Mishnah here in Baba Metzia and the Mishnah in Gittin by making these two distinctions. And now we're going to quote Rabbi Zerah, who also resolves a similar contradiction, but this time from the same Mishnah in Gittin and a Baraita instead of the our Mishnah here in Baba Metzia. Rabbi Zerah, Rameh Matnitin, a Baraita Umeshane. Rabbi Zerah brought up together a Mishnah and a Baraita that contradict each other, and he also explained them. Tenan, Hamevi get v'abad hemenu mesa'ol altar kasher v'imlav pasul. This is the Mishnah in Gittin that we already saw. A messenger who was on his way to bring a get from the husband to the wife, and he loses it. If he finds it immediately, then he can continue on his journey and give it to her. If not, then he cannot deliver it. So according to this, you cannot deliver something that was lost for a while. Urmin hi masaget isha bashuk mizman shabal modeh yachzir laisha. En abal modeh lo yachzir lo laze velo laze. Katani mihat mizman shabal modeh yachzir laisha afilu lizman merubeh. But the Braita says that if someone finds a get in the middle of the marketplace, if the husband agrees that, yes, I sent it to her, right? I gave her this get, then you should return it to the wife. But if not, if the husband says, no, I did not send this, then do not return it, not to the husband and not to the wife. The point, and the main point in the Braita that was relevant for us, is that when the husband agrees, then you in fact give it to the woman, even after a long time. So here we have a contradiction. In the Mishnah it says that if you find it after a long time, then it's no good. The agent does not give it to the wife. And here it says, if you find it, even after a long time, you do return it to the wife. How can we explain? Answers in the same way that Rabba did above, that the Mishnah in Gittin is talking about a case where there are lots of caravans in the area, and we worry. Maybe this thing that he dropped, the get that he dropped, was picked up by some caravan, and another caravan dropped another get that happened to have the same names, going to the same place. The same place is not such a coincidence, because the caravans are on the same route, and therefore you do not return it. Whereas this baraita that says you do return a found get even after a long time is talking about a place that there's not a lot of traffic, and therefore if you find it there, it's unlikely that it was switched with a different one. This must be the same one that was lost, and therefore you can return it. Good. Now within the Rabbi Zera, the question is, does Rabbi Zera accept also the other distinction that Rabbah made? One opinion says that Rabbi Zera only said don't return it when there are caravans if there is a chazakah that there are two people with the same name. In other words, he agrees with Rabbah. Just like Rabbah required two things not to return it, it's a place where there are caravans, and we know that there are two people with the same name. If you have both of those, don't return it. But if you have only one or the other, then return it. This is the more lenient opinion, and Rabbi Zera agrees with Rabbah. Or perhaps Rabbi Zera, he didn't say anything about that. Maybe he thinks that even if we don't know that there were two Yosefs, all we know about is one Yosef, but it's a place of caravans, still don't return it. And in which case, Rabbi Zera would disagree with Rabbah, because Rabbi Zera would be more stringent in terms of returning, and say, anytime it's in a public place, don't return it. And it doesn't matter, even if we don't know about two people with the same name. Now we're going to wonder about the question stage when we brought these contradictions. Rabbah brought a contradiction between two Mishnayot. Actually, it was the Gemara itself that brought the contradiction, and Rabbah answered it, so we presume that he was answering that question. Rabbi Zera presented the question between a Mishnah and a Braita. Why did each one choose the question, the source that they did? So we understand why Rabbah did not say like Rabbi Zera, because a Mishnah is stronger than a Baraita to ask a question. So Rabbah said, let me ask from our Mishnah in Baba Metziah against the Mishnah in Gittin, two very strong sources from Mishnayot. That's better than a challenge from a Baraita, which has somewhat less authority. That makes sense. So how come Rabbi Zera did not ask the question the same way Rabbah did, and instead chose a baraita? He says, I agree that a Mishnah is stronger, but that Mishnah, for our Mishnah from Baba Metziah, doesn't say explicitly that you can give it after a long time. The Mishnah only says that if the one who wrote the document says give it, then we give it. And so does it say that we give it even after a long time of being lost? Maybe not. Maybe when the Mishnah says, when the husband says, give it, we give it, maybe that's only if we found it immediately, but not after a long time. So therefore, your question from the Mishnah is only from a derivation, something you inferred from the Mishnah, but it's not explicit, and that's why he chose the Braita, where it's more explicit. According to the opinion that we cited just now, that Rabbi Zera disagrees with Rabbah. And according to Rabbi Zera, he's more stringent when there are caravans present, even if we don't know there's two Yosefs, still we worry that there might be, because there's a lot of traffic here and we don't return it. And that's more stringent and disagrees with Rabbah. According to that opinion, what's at the essence of their machloket? Rabbah sabar dekatani kol ma'ase betin, hare ze yachzir, dishtukach bebetin naskinan. Ubetin kemakom sheyashod mesuyot, vuhu shechzuku lo yachzir, lo chzuku yachzir. Rabbah said, well, my opinion is of that second distinction, is based on the Mishnah that's coming up on Daf Chaf, where it says, any court document one should return that's found in the court, right? Aren't we talking about that's found a court document? Where is the court document going to be? Presumably in the court. Now, a court is like a place where there's caravans, cause a lot of traffic in the court. And so that, and yet it says you should return it. So how could it be that that's a document in a public place that you find and you do return it? So it must be that that kind of document that you return is where there, we don't know that there are two people with the same name. And the other sources that says that you don't return it, that's the Mishnah Gittin, is where you know for sure that there are two people with the same name. And that's why that's the source from which Rabba bases his second distinction on. However, Rabbi Zera Amar Lach Mikatane Komase Betin Shem Nimseu Be Betin Komase Betin Yachzir Katane Ulam Dishu Abarai. Rabbi Zera says, wait a second. Does the Mishnah there say any court document that's found in the court? It doesn't say that either. You see a pattern here, right? Rabba is inferring things from Mishnayot. He more easily makes inferences. And Rabbi Zera says, just take it as Peshat, whatever the Mishnah actually says, and don't tell me what you might infer from it. Not necessarily, he says. A court document, maybe it's only talking about court documents that are not in Bet Din. They're found outside. It was in court, and now it was issued, and then someone took it out of court, but it was fined. It was found in a place that's not public. And that's why in that Mishnah it says return it only if it's not found in a public place. And so that's how they each explain that Mishnah. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar, Kegon deka amri adim, me'olam lo hatamnu ela al get ehad shel Yosef ben Shimon. We already saw now two ways of explaining the contradiction between the Mishnah and Gittin that says don't return it, and the other two sources, either the Mishnah Baba Masiya, our Mishnah, and the Braita, that says do return it. And now we're going to see two more ways of resolving this contradiction. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says that when do we return a document? Only in a case where the witnesses come and say, we only signed on one get with this particular name of Yosef ben Shimon. In other words, both Gittin, not only do they have the same names and of the husband and the wife and the same place, otherwise you'd be able to distinguish it, but they also have the same witnesses signed on it. If they had different witnesses, then the person who finds it would say, oh, this is not my get, or right? So then he would know that it's not the right one. So therefore, what are we worried about? We're worried about that there's two gets, not only with the same husband and wife in place, but also with the same witnesses. But if we ask those witnesses, come here, right? How many gets like with these names did you sign? They said only one. Well, then we're guaranteed that it's the same one. Therefore, the Mishnah Baba Metzia and the Braita that says return it is talking about a case where the witnesses are present and they said we only signed one get. So we know that the one that was lost is the one that was found. Now he has to be Miyah. You made the case too obvious. Then of course you would find it, right? That's like clear proof that's the same one. No, you might think that it could possibly happen that the names of the husband and wife are the same and the names of the witnesses are the same, even though they're two different, they're a different set of witnesses, right? You could have two different sets of witnesses that just happened to have the same name. And so you might have thought that we have to be concerned even for that case and not return it. And that's the chidush of the Mishnah Baba Metzia and the Braita. Listen, if the witnesses say they only signed one, you don't have to worry to that extent that you have the same names of husbands, wife, place, and both witnesses are all the same names, but all completely different people. Okay, that's the third answer. Fourth answer, Rav Ashe Amar. Kegon deka Amar nekev yesh bo besad ot peloni. When do you return it? When the husband says, or the agent says, oh, the get has a hole by next to this letter, right? This certain letter. I remember there's a hole. That's a distinctive mark. And so if it has that distinctive mark, you can know for sure it's the same one. And it's not a different one that happens to have the same names. So that's the case that you return it. But if it doesn't have a distinctive mark, then we don't know, then you don't return it. That's the Mishnah Gittin. V'davka besadot peloni, aval neke ba'al ma'ala. And the Gemara clarifies, when Rav Ashe says that, that's only if he specifies that there's a hole next to this letter. Then the letter of this word on the third line, he has to say exactly where the hole is. If he just says, oh, this one has a hole, that's not distinctive enough because, right, probably every other document had some hole in it. Parchment just naturally gets holes, so that would not be distinctive enough. Rav Asher mesapek aleh simanim I deoraita I derabanan. Rav Asher was not sure whether finding a mark, simanim, that's you find a distinguishing mark, and there, based on that, you can identify it as being mine. Simanim, an ordinary siman, not a special siman, like a hole in a certain place. If you have a hole in a very specific spot, then everybody would agree that's a convincing distinguishing mark, and you can return an item. But if it's just an ordinary sign, meaning just a hole in it somewhere, well, that is that good enough to identify something and return it on the Doraita level? If it's a Doraita level, then an ordinary mark would be sufficient. And even if he says there's a hole in it somewhere and doesn't say exactly where, that would be sufficient evidence to return an item. But he wasn't sure if it's Doraita. Maybe an ordinary mark is only good midrabanan. And while we would follow a drabanan if it was monetary law, here we're returning a get that has serious consequences for Isurin. And therefore, since Rav Asher suspected that maybe we only follow an ordinary sign midrabanan, that would not be strong enough to return a get. And that's why Rav Asher clarified, listen, when I said that when you when it has a hole in it, you then that's identifying mark and you can return it, I just want to clarify that that is only when it's a hole in a very specific spot, then you know for sure you can return it and you can rely on it that she is divorced. Otherwise, not so. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.